Kind of cool morning for us here this morning. My wife loves it. They've got temperatures up in East Tennessee down into the teens and some in single digits up there. And my wife said she wanted to be up there, so. I done got too old for all that stuff, folks. So. Hey, Brother Jeff, would you mind coming up helping us with the offering this morning, please, brother? Well, how many of you know that there is going to be a resolution introduced into the Congress to defund Planned Parenthood? It's going to be part of a bill for that purpose. Of course, it is already under attack. There's a guy that came on this morning that talked about the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And something that most of the Democrats won't tell you is that 70% of the babies that are aborted are black babies. And that's a thing that Democrats have pushed for years and years. And the author of Planned Parenthood is Margaret Sanger, one of the most wicked women to ever live. When you start killing babies, you have no morality left. If you can kill a baby, you have no conscience. And if you can do it for money, that shows you're even more wicked. And Planned Parenthood has been in the business of selling baby parts. And they need to not actually be defunded. They need that too. But they also, some of them need to go to jail because they violated the laws. And folks, we've killed over 70 million babies since Roe versus Wade when they legalized abortion. Abortion is not killing, it's murder. It's the murder of the innocents. And it's one of the reasons it is a judgment upon America that we would allow it. Islam is a judgment upon America. The fact that we would condemn Israel is a judgment on America. And we can go back and dig it all out. But our country has become so, so very wicked. I ran across this verse here, and I'm just going to read it. And it probably may not have a whole lot to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. But see if I can find it here. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God. We and our fathers from our youth even unto this day and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. We've laid down, that's out of Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 25. We have laid down in our shame. We have become so desensitized to our sin that we cannot even blush any longer. The prophet Jeremiah talks about that in two different passages of Scripture. Baby killings, sodomy, just general lawlessness have become the norm in our society. And why is that? It's because we have forsaken the God of the Bible. We've taken everything that He's given us and taken it and shoved it back in His face and said, we don't want it. We want nothing to do with you. The prophet Isaiah made the statement that Israel had said unto the Lord, cease from in front of us. Get out of our way, in other words, that we might go and do what we want to do. Proverbs chapter 1 addresses that issue of where people reject God and then God ends up letting them take their own way. If you read the last about 9 or 10 verses in Proverbs chapter 1, it is a condemnation that is very appropriate to us in this hour. And the topic this morning is I'm going to talk again about the Obama administration's shameful condemnation of the nation of Israel in the UN. And that's what it is. It's shameful. And to let you know also that Ted Cruz has introduced a resolution into the U.S. Senate to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. And I say, go ahead. There's several senators that have endorsed that piece of legislation. Brother Jeff. Yeah, and we have had an ongoing battle in our nation's history that went all the way back to Thomas Jefferson with Islam in one form or another. And any of you that know the history of the United States Marine Corps, the Marine hymn was really based upon some of our dealings that we had with the Libyans when they were attacking American shipping and they sent the Marines in over there. In fact, our battles with the Islam is one of the reasons that the Marines picked up the nickname Leathernecks because of the response that was given them. So we've had an ongoing battle with them, but the battle has not been genuine. It's not been at the heart of our leaders. And we are in serious trouble because of the way we have dealt with the nation of Israel. Now, hopefully that is going to change under the new president. But even he has some major issues. Y'all may not know this, but he is going to have a lady to deliver the invocation prayer at the inauguration. Paula White. How much do you know about Paula White? She's apostate. And here, I'm going to tell you something right here, and I want you to think about it. She believes that in order to heal her relationship with her husband, that they need to sit down and watch pornography together. And she's supposed to be a preacher of the Word of God. Danger, folks, danger. The folks that, Sister Mary, yeah, and notice what you just said, Baptist churches. Amen. It's in Baptist churches, folks. That is to our shame. Amen. And it's to our shame that we will not stand up and condemn it. Amen. We're so wicked and so compromised that we've taken the Word of God and just shoved it back into His face and said, we're going to live how we want to live. We're going to run our church how we want to run our church. We don't care what you think about it. We don't care if we deny every major doctrine of the Bible. We're going to do what we want to do. And really, that's where we are. The conflict that we're in today, and have been now for thousands of years, not millions of years, as the evolutionists would tell you, that's another doctrine of devils. That's a religion. Evolution is a religion, folks. It's not a science. It's a joke. It's a joke to anybody that has... they refer to people like me or people like you that do not believe in evolution as being Neanderthals. You're not educated enough. You know how ridiculous and how illogical the doctrine of evolution is? It will not stand the test of anything. Amen. If you start looking at statistical probability of evolution taking place, and statistics, folks, is a science. If you look at it, it is statistically impossible for evolution to take place. Yet, they will not use that in their doctrine. It's a religion, folks. And it's a religion that's under the condemnation of God. Genesis chapter 16. 16, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Do we know who the angel of the Lord is, don't we? The angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 8 in that chapter says, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. I'm glad they changed that to Sarah, folks. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, listen at this, folks, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. God made that same promise to the nation of Israel, didn't he? It's the same promise that he made. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And here's the major reason I came here. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Y'all do know that 12 tribes, Arab tribes, came out of Ishmael, don't you? And y'all know from the history of what goes on in the Middle East over there, that it has been, they have been constantly at one another's throats, and that he has been a wild man over there, that the Arab has been a wild man. And what's going on over in the Middle East right now, which has given Israel a little respite, believe it or not, the battle in amongst themselves, where they're cutting one another's throats. And if you let them go long enough, they will cut one another's throats. Because they are a bloody, bloody religion. And their total focus is the destruction, first of all, of the nation of Israel. And then they want the destruction of the Jew themselves, because they say they're going to go first for the Sabbath keepers, and then they're going to go after the Sunday people. Who is the Sunday people? Christian folks. That's who they're after. It's not changed. Sister Barbara. I was in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16 dealing with Ishmael. And Ishmael is considered by the Islamics to be the one that the promise was given to. And that's wrong. That's entirely against what the Bible teaches, because the Bible plainly states that the promise was given to who, Brother Darnell? Yes. And that promise was repeated over and over and over again. So any doctrine that is in the church that advocates otherwise is a doctrine of devils, is what it is. Israel is the chosen of God. And I here a few weeks ago, I started reading this statement, and I'm going to finish it here this morning. That's where I'm going to get started with the class after having read that. Ishmael is on the attack against Israel and the Jews, the descendants of the Mar. Remember, we went and read Psalm 83 last week, where we talked about some of those folks, where they want to have the nation of Israel to totally cease, that their name might not be mentioned anymore. This is the policy statement of the incoming Trump administration on the nation of Israel. Radical changes. And I've read some of this already, but I'm going to go back and pick up parts of it because I'm going to get all the way through it this morning. The statement, first of all, says Israel is the state of the Jewish people who have lived in that land for 3,500 years. The state of Israel was founded with courage and determination by great men and women against enormous odds, and is an inspiration to people everywhere who value freedom and human dignity. Israel is a staunch ally of the U.S. and a key partner in the global war against Islamic jihadism. Military cooperation and coordination between Israel and the U.S. must continue to grow. Must. Emphasize. The American people value our close friendship and alliance with Israel culturally, religiously, and politically. While other nations have required U.S. troops to defend them, Israelis have always defended their own countries. We have supplied them with weapons. And we have two presidents to thank for that. Truman, thank God that Truman recognized the nation of Israel, the first leader in the world to recognize the nation of Israel. And then thank God for Richard Nixon, who stood up in 1973 and resupplied the nation of Israel. Regardless of what you may think about Richard Nixon, God used him in a time when nobody else would stand up. Okay, the Memorandum of Understanding signed by the American and Israeli governments is a good first step. We have a Memorandum of Understanding with Israel where we provide them with so much money access to so much material as a part of an agreement we have with them, military-type agreement we have. It's a Memorandum of Understanding. But the Obama administration, when they went into the current Memorandum of Understanding, tried to make it, and it's in the agreement, that the United States Congress, listen to this, the United States Congress could not increase the level of the support to the nation of Israel. You can go read the agreement for yourself, and it's in it. Folks, that is an unconstitutional grab by the executive branch of the power of the United States Congress to appropriate funds as they see necessary. And by the way, the refusal of the executive branch to spend the money the way it has been authorized and put into law by the Congress of the United States is unconstitutional. Most folks won't tell you that. The office of the presidency has become routinely, by Republicans and Democrats, a place where the U.S. Constitution is violated by executive orders. And its abuse reached its peak during this administration. It needs to go away. Next one, the U.S. should veto any United Nations votes that unfairly single out Israel and will work in international institutions and forums, including our relations with the European Union, to oppose efforts to delegitimize Israel, impose discriminatory double standards against Israel, or to impose special labeling requirements on Israeli products or boycotts on Israeli goods. That, folks, is talking about the BDS movement. Boycott, divest, and sanctions of the nation of Israel. That's what that is for. That is pushed by churches in the United States of America. It is pushed by the United States State Department. It is pushed by most of the Democrats in the Democratic Party. They want to sanction the nation of Israel for occupying land that belongs to them, that God gave to them as an everlasting covenant. And remember that I told you that when John Kerry made the statement that Israel was illegally occupying land over there, that is also a lie. It's an open-faced lie because Israel did not violate international law, because under international law, if you initiate an offensive war against somebody and they take territory from you, it belongs to the person that you attacked. That's what international law says. Don't care what John Kerry says. But the land was given as the whole land was given to the nation of Israel by God himself. That's a covenant that exists between God and the nation of Israel. If you want to get a view of what that size of that land actually looks like, you can go to my website and look up the map of it, and you'll see that it includes most of good parts of Iraq, good parts of Syria, most of what is called Jordan today. And y'all remember the 1956 Suez War and the 1973 war that involved the Sinai. The Sinai was also part of that grant that God gave unto the nation of Israel. In fact, the land went all the way to the Nile River, if you read what your Bible says. So that land belongs historically and legally to the nation of Israel. Okay, and by the way, January the 15th, you've got 70 nations that are meeting in Paris, France, and what they expect to come out of that is a recommendation that the governments of the world recognize a Palestinian state. That is an abomination, folks. Let me tell you, it's an abomination. And it's a slap in the face of God. The next one in this list is the U.S. should cut off funds for the U.N. Human Rights Council, a body dominated by countries presently run by dictatorships that seem solely devoted to slandering the Jewish state. Do y'all know that an average of 2 resolutions per month comes out of the U.N. Security Council condemning the nation of Israel? But you got countries over there that are resorting to wholesale murder, killing innocents and stuff, and they will not condemn them. And I'm talking about Islamic countries, folks. And they will not condemn them, but they go after the nation of Israel, this tiny little country, which, by the way, is 1/700th of the land area in the Middle East over there. They go after this tiny country. Folks, I'm sick of it. I am sick and tired of American political and religious leaders going after the nation of Israel. They are under the condemnation of God, and I, for one, will be glad when God destroys them. I want to see their destruction because of what they've done to Christians and what they've done to Jews. Men, we need to stand up. We need to stand up. Yes, sir. That's right. You heard what he said. They've killed in Syria over 375,000 of their own people. But where is the condemnation from the United Nations Security Council? It is chock full of hypocrisy, folks.
A lot of those people that are actually doing it, right. Their ultimate aim is to attack Israel once they gain foothold there. They wanted to take Syria and part of Iraq and then go after Israel. That was their stated game in their weapon.
Yeah. Islam is changing the world one dead body at a time. That's what they're doing. And by the way, I think we're going to find out that this attack that happened at the Fort Lauderdale Airport was also coming under that. I read some articles yesterday that has tied that boy into Islam and ISIS. So, more on that later, maybe. Next point, the U.S. should, and by the way, on this thing of where they should cut off funds for the U.N. Human Rights Council, I would go even further. I would totally cut off all funds to the United Nations, period. And throw them out of here, get them out of here. But I'll guarantee you the Republicans and the Democrats aren't going to go for it because it doesn't meet the globalist agenda that they all have. They're none to be trusted. That's not a political statement. That's a fact. Next one. The U.S. should view the effort to boycott, divest from, and sanction, which I've already called BDS Israel, as inherently anti-Semitic and take strong measures, both diplomatic and legislative, to thwart actions that are intended to limit commercial relationships with Israel. You know that there's a campaign actively on college campuses throughout the United States in support of the BDS movement? Did you know that there are over 150 chapters of the Muslim Brotherhood in the college campuses of the United States of America? Do you know that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the highest levels of the Republican Party? They're supposed to be the good guys, and they aren't, but that's what they're supposed made out to be. The Trump administration will ask the Justice Department to investigate coordinated attempts, and here it is, on college campuses to intimidate students who support Israel. And it's going on all the time now, folks. You can go and read, there's a magazine online called Front Page Magazine that documents a lot of what's going on college campuses, and it would amaze you what happens. If you stand for the nation of Israel on a college campus, they're going to come after you. There is no, the leftists, the liberals, push for what they call academic freedom. But if you exercise your academic freedom and support the nation of Israel, they're going to come after you and do whatever is politically correct to deny you your rights to free speech. And they'll not only will they intimidate you mentally, but they will resort to physical violence also. It's time for it to stop, folks. And the only way it's going to stop is for folks like you and I to stand up and say, enough is enough. We're done with it. They're wicked, folks. A two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians appears impossible as long as the Palestinians are unwilling to renounce violence against Israel. And they're not going to renounce violence, folks. The PLO charter, which has never been repealed, never, openly advocates the destruction of the nation of Israel and the murder of the Jews. If you get it, you ought to go and read that PLO charter. They're not going to change. But one administration after another, Republican, Democrat, makes no difference who they have been, have pushed this two-state solution. The two-state solution is not going to work because, first of all, it's under the condemnation of God. It will not work because what it does is it divides the land. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, go and read it. Go and read Daniel chapter 11, verse 39, that is a doctrine of the Antichrist when they start dividing that land for gain over there. Okay, next. The Palestinian leadership, including the PA, has undermined any chance for peace with Israel by raising generations of Palestinian children on an educational program of hatred of Israel and Jews. You can go to any of the Middle East newspapers and you see this wickedness going on all the time. They're teaching 3, 4, and 5 years old children that they ought to be killing Jews and wiping out the nation. This is what you're dealing with. And by the way, let me give you something that I ran across yesterday if you want to get some further insight into the wickedness of Islam. They, out of the a university in Cairo that is run by the Islamics, advocate cannibalism, folks. Take that and let it get down into your soul. They arrested some two twin brothers over in Pakistan for cutting up a baby and eating it. And they've been involved in other things, too. They've been involved in eating dead corpses, but they can support that out of the Islamic religion, folks. Go and do the research for yourself. You don't have to buy what I'm saying. Go and do it yourself. I encourage you to do that. Now, is that disgusting? That shows you what you're up against. They have, folks, they have no conscience. And that's what we are up against. The U.S., here's another point. The U.S. cannot support the creation of a new state where terrorism is financially incentivized. Terrorists are celebrated by political parties and government institutions, and the corrupt diversion of foreign aid is rampant. There was even some aid that was going to some so-called Christian organization over there that they were channeling away over there to support terrorist operations in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip over there. That's the sort of thing they do over there. They go on to say here, the U.S. should support direct negotiation between Israel and the Palestinians without preconditions and will oppose all Palestinian, European, and other efforts to bypass direct negotiations between the parties in favor of an imposed settlement. We don't believe they ought to be negotiating at all, because there is no negotiation. They have no intent to do what it is that they say they're going to do. Y'all do know what a hudna is, right? We talked about it when we done all the stuff on the teaching on Islam. A hudna, or it's called the parent for it within Islam, is a treaty of Hudaybiyah. And all that is it is a stalling action where they make peace when they are weak, and then as soon as they get where they have strength built back up, they go on the attack again. When they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace, peace. Yes, Brother Darnell. That belongs to Israel. Yeah. But folks, in American politics, there is so much hypocrisy as it relates to the nation of Israel. So much of it. And folks, even in if you were not a Christian, in the interest of fairness, don't you think something ought to change? Folks, I just don't understand how people can be so wicked. I don't understand it. Okay, and the final point in this is that there's actually two points. The U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state, and then the other one is that they're going to tear down the Iran nuclear deal. And we've heard a lot about that. That's one of the position paper of the Trump administration on the nation of Israel. It's high time, folks. It's high time. I don't have a lot of time left, but I am going to pick up some things out of this book here. And I've talked about this book from time immemorial. This lady started out with the objectives that the Israelis were in the wrong over in the Middle East. I told y'all that. And she documents page after page. This book is in small print, and it's a thick book. You can see it. Of the duplicity of the British government and the United States government in dealing with the nation of Israel. The State Department is eat up with pro-Palestinian bureaucrats. And I hope that's part of the swamp that Donald Trump cleans out. That's not a political statement. It's a need. They need to throw the corrupt politicians out up there. And if they'd done that, there probably wouldn't be very many of them left. You could walk into the Congress up there and hear an echo from it being so empty. I have nothing but contempt for them. Here's what she says here. From that starting point, I came to learn that the Arabs weren't the only unfortunates who fled from their homes at the time of the Arab-Israeli War of Independence, because I had assumed that Arab refugees from Israel were the Middle East refugees. I was startled to find that also around 1948, whole Jewish populations from numerous Arab countries had been forced to flee as refugees to Israel and elsewhere in the world. That brings up this point. Mr. Kerry, in the speech that he gave, talked about that it would be equitable if compensation was given to those Palestinians for what Israel done to them when the war started over there. What she was just saying here, and I'm going to get you some figures here in just a minute if I get to them. The Jewish refugees, they don't want to compensate them. 850,000 of them, folks. Probably about 45 to 50% more than what was thrown out when Israel was attacked in the 67 war. They have made these people permanent refugees. The Arab countries will not take them in. Yet when the Arabs run all of the Jews out of their countries and Israel took them in, Israel took them in. The Arabs won't take them in. Israel supported them. Israel paid for them. Who's going to compensate the Jew for what was done to them? You see the hypocrisy of it? And believe me, it was a lot of the things that I've said up here this morning are not well received by most people in America. Because most people in America, whether they'll admit it or not, they when you start talking about the Jew, they develop a little snarl on their face. They have an ungodly attitude toward the Jew. And it, folks, it makes me sick. My dad was one of those. He was one of those. Would make fun of the Jew. And it was wicked. And every time I heard it, folks, it hurt my heart. And even today when I hear it, it hurts my heart. Would to God that we'd get some guts about us and do what's right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, because they've been fed the party line. And the party line is anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Jew, anti-Israel, anti-American. It's anti-American. To reject the nation of Israel is anti-American. To reject the nation of Israel is anti-Christ. Here's a figure I was just telling you here. Of more than 850,000 Jews in Arab lands before Israel's statehood, fewer than 29,000 remain. Let that settle in. That's how many Jews will run out of their homes. And by the way, they were attacked violently. Every possession that they had was stolen from them. And yet they talk about compensating these so-called Palestinians. It's time for some justice in this world, folks. And I'm afraid that the only way that it's going to happen is for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Amen. I'm not afraid of that. I want to see that. I would to God he'd come back today. Amen. Because I am so tired of the battle sometimes. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of seeing injustice being done to Christians, being done to Jews, being done to people that are weaker than you are. I'm so tired of it. I would to God he'd come back and destroy the whole wicked bunch. But even at all that, folks, they're no more deserving of hell than I am. The only difference between me and them is I know I'm going to heaven. I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He changed me. He put me on the right path. Another statement from this book. The land called Palestine was never considered a nation at all. And surely could not have been regarded by the later immigrants as their ancestral homeland. And any more than any Norwegian immigrant to the United States would consider that his ancestral home was the United States when his ancestors were born in Norway. Most of the Palestinians were born in Arab countries, folks. That's the point that she's making here. That's where they were born. I got just a few more notes I'm going to pick up here, and we'll get close out here this morning. The this is talking about a Nili network that they uncovered over there. It said the Nili network was uncovered by the Turks. And remember what I said about the Turks. They're wicked also. Just 2 months before the momentous Balfour Declaration could have afforded them the protection they had fought for. Two Nili members were hanged in Damascus and their bodies exhibited to the public. One woman shot herself between torture sessions, and many others were tortured and incarcerated. Some of the punishments were averted, however, by Britain's victory. The British delayed formal recognition of the renewed Jewish National Liberation Movement in Palestine until the success of General Allenby's invasion of Palestine seemed certain. In other words, they were hedging their bets, folks. They were doing what was not what was right, but what was would benefit them, to their benefit. Then on November the 2nd, and here it is, folks, the 1917, with approval from the cabinet of from its cabinet and the United States, the British government published a statement of policy that became known as the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration is just a simple two sentences that says this: His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any country. That was the basis that formed what became the document that was issued out of the UN. This document here went through the League of Nations, but later came through the UN, which established a homeland supposedly for the Jews over there, which, by the way, the Arabs ended up getting over 70% of that which was mandated. Now, this came out of Great Britain, but what you need to know about this is that from the point of that declaration that I just read until about 1949, that Great Britain done everything it could to hinder the establishment of the Jew in the Middle East over there because it was politically uncomfortable for them in their relationship with the Arabs. The official government policy of Great Britain was to favor the Arabs. And you need to know that that's also the official policy of the United States State Department. Nothing's changed and will not change until they clean the swamp out up there. And I hope that's one of the swamps that they clean out. But do I hold any hope for that happening? No, we have too much history that says that it probably will not happen. All right, I thank you for y'all's attention this morning. So.